Hi, everybody. So today we're praying for Mexico. God bless Mexico. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Yesterday I was looking at eternal life, and Lord was just talking to me about eternal life and his master plan, and how our own pride blocks us from receiving from God. It's actually incredible how we're actually created that way, and due to the fall and that separation from God, we're just like Satan, like we're just like him, where we're disobedient. We don't want any parenting. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to have anybody in, be better than us, and all those type of characteristics that aren't of God at all. And nothing happens in his world by mistake. Thank you, angels. Well, says thank you. And he knows everything that's going on. Keenan. You're chewing gum. He's chewing gum. And all I can hear is stop. Hang on a minute. I can. Yeah, it's incredible how we want the best for ourselves, We do want the best. I mean, nobody wants to have a horrible life. Nobody wants to live in misery. Nobody wants to be unhappy. And everybody wants to be right, right? And it's amazing. Like, we actually want that stuff. And then God says, okay, here's how you're going to have it. I'm going to send you my son. I'm going to put myself in a body. I'm going to become like you. And I am going to redeem you all. And I'm going to give you the life that you always wanted. Okay, it's inside of you. You're created for it. You're created for eternity. You're created for his life that he has for you. You're made for it. He made you before the foundations of the earth. He knew you, right? He made you. This is the Father, and you were in his imagination. He created you. He's seen you. He knew who you were. He knew what he called you. He knew what he's going to do for you. He knows everything about you. He's made you. He sees you in the imagination. Boom, you're birthed, and that's what you're called for. Now, when we are connected to him in relationship by Jesus as the bridge, as the crossing, it's like, then we come into that fullness of why we were born. We come into that fullness of what we were created for. Now, it's not just about saying, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I mean, we look at religion. Look at religion. And in particular, let's look at, Christianity and Catholicism and whatever else. Look at that and see how many profess Jesus as the Lord and Savior, yet still live in torment, still haven't come into the fullness. They're slogging it out every week. They're not content or joyful in their lives. I mean, they might have money, they might have a secure home, they might even have a great husband and that type of thing. But there's still something missing inside, because you're born for it. There's a spiritual thing inside of you that's, you're missing something. You're missing God. You're created for him. We were create all things in the earth are created by God and for God through, and it's like, okay, so he says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Now, sin is separation from God, and that's an eternal choice you make. Okay, so if we continue to live this life that you're living here on the earth without a oneness and a unison, not just a spoken I believe in God, but it's a literal literal yada of your spirit with God's spirit. That spirit that lives inside of you comes up and it gets connected and sewn and tied together with God. And you're one with Him. And through that experience, you without any doubt know Him. Because now you're one, connected with Him. I mean, you know Him through that connection. When something comes on you like that, you know Him. It's not just, I've learned about it all my life. This is an actual experience, okay? A literal thing that happens to you. And He says, it's like he's had this master plan. He knew everything that was going to happen. He has the master plan. This is God, your father, your daddy, your papa. Okay? He made you, created you, loves you so, so much. He must get all the glory. There's no fighting here between brothers and sisters. Yeah, that's what I want to do. That's mine. And you, if you got kids, you know what that's all about. Trust me. That's my mama. Why does he get that? Why does she get that? That's my blah, 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 blah. All that stuff that goes on in humanity. I want to be that. Why am I this? Why are the Jews the chosen people? Let's kill them. Ah, how dare they call themselves the chosen people? I mean, God's not like, he's like, okay. Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. So He promised us eternal life from the beginning of time. He knew what He was going to do, how to make that happen, how to give us that. Eternal life with the most holiest God Almighty. He's not a God that goes around cutting people's heads off. I mean, that's Satan, clearly. I mean, it's not rocket science stuff. Clearly, that stuff that's going on in the Middle East is demonic and it's satanic. And it's not God. God is an all-loving God, full of love, who loves you. Where His wrath remains on sin, it remains on sin, which is the separation. Because He's not in the separation, is He? He's only in the unity. We choose that if we want that separation, though. I mean, there's a choice. Here's Jesus. If you want to come back to me and be connected with me and then created and made in the image of God, like and made into Christ-likeness, who's perfect, right? You come through Jesus, through relationship, and He takes you to the Father. It's just that simple, and that's how God designed it and made it. People are like, well, that's just terrible. Who does He think He is? How dare He do it like that? I've got a better idea and I want to do this and I want to do that. No. I mean, we don't want to, you know, everyone's making their own what they want to do and what they think's the great idea. Like, this is God we're talking about, okay? And His plan's perfect. Ours isn't. We don't know. He knows. And so He made this plan how He will redeem a chosen people. They're going to be a royal priesthood. Now, everybody's chosen. Everybody's called, everybody's chosen, but not everybody accepts it. Not everybody comes into it through their own choice and a free will. I mean, a loving God gives you choice. He doesn't say, if you don't convert to my religion, I'm going to kill you because we need to be number one and we rule the world. Now, that's what Satan did. You know what I mean? Satan does that. That's Satan. God is like, I love you and here is what I'm going to give you and this is your choice and I want you to choose this door. He's like, okay, he's like, this is the, and He has to put rules and laws in place, right? So we don't kind of like kill ourselves and, you know, don't go so far. You need some boundaries because if you don't have those boundaries, you're going to go over and it's going to hurt you. And I don't want you hurt. And I can see you can't. So I'm going to put these there so you can follow them and not get hurt, right? And we don't like that. We're like, I want to go anyway. I'm going to choose it, right? I'm going to do it. He's like, He puts these in place so we don't hurt ourselves. And He's like, I'll give you a choice, okay? This door is eternal life. if you come through it, you will live with me forever in eternity. Okay? Because this body is going to be a light body. You're going to have a spiritual light body. You need to stop thinking carnally and earthly. Think spiritual, you know? Think like fairy tale, like wow, crazy, magical. Think like, wow, it's going to be like so. Think like, you know, how the fairy tales get you to think. Come outside of your natural thinking, because this is how spirituality works. Okay, and he wants you to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. And that's what the whole point of the spirit does. It's like, this door will give you eternal life. This door will not give you eternal life. This door, if you continue down this path, you will die and you won't live with me forever. But if you come through this door, there's going to be heaps of stuff on this side of the door too that's going to be good for you, and it's going to bring you into a position where you need to be, and we're going to live forever together. And then he says, choose this door. Don't choose this door. Choose this door. This is the right one and this is the wrong one. And he's like, and then we sort of, and I said, this is awesome, freaked the other I've seen it. And he's like, and I love the explanation. He's like, so choose this one. And then we come up to it and we're like, oh, I don't know. Really don't know which one I want, right? And he's like, no, this one. And guess, come in, I've told you already. No, oh, I don't know, what should we do? So it's not like it's hidden. It's pretty clear and he's given the answer, right? So it's this eternal plan. When we come through Jesus, come through and follow him, his spirit is poured upon into our lives because we're faithful to him and we want to follow him and we want to do his will, the Father's will. We want that relationship. So we declare it from the rooftops. We tell everybody who we are. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We love him. He's our Lord, and nothing stops us, right? That's, we're faithful to him. We're not like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to tell anyone in case people judge me, and I don't want to lose all my family and friends, so I'm just not going to say it, but I'm going to go in my room and say, oh Jesus, please, please, can you just get me out of this and help me with this and just save me from this, and then come back out here and pretend, oh no, I'm going to follow Jesus. I mean, like a few Facebook statuses that are public and then people are like, why are you liking those for? I mean, and I've seen it. I've had people that have liked the statuses and then somebody's gone and told that person's parents or whatever, you know, that kid's liking that statuses, he's following, you know. I mean, and God will deal with all of those type of people that, you know. Woe to those who cause, who block a little child from entering the kingdom. That's a bad thing. But he's like, don't be secretive about this. If you're embarrassed of me, then I'm going to be embarrassed of you in front of my Father, okay? If you're going to not say who you declare your name to or who you declare your life to, who's the Lord of your life, if you're embarrassed of me, then I'm going to be that of you. And so, what was I going to say? Okay, so this wrath of him, this wrath remains on sin. The wrath remains on the separation. Okay, so anyone that's not in unity, in unison with God's Spirit, is in sin because they're separated from the Father. Okay, not just I love you, but no, we are righteous and we're in right standing. Okay, and we love him and we've given everything and we've come into the Spirit of God. As his spirit comes down, it's not wrath, you're angry, you're being in trouble. As his spirit comes down, pours into all flesh and into the whole earth, those who like God, who love God, love his spirit and love what it does to them. And it's like, we drink it, we love it, and how it changes us, it brings us into a more Christ-like. Those who don't like God, that spirit's still falling on them. And while they're in sin, which is separated, it's like, to my flesh, I hate it. Things go wrong, you're fighting against the Spirit of God, I want to do this, but Spirit God saying, no, we're doing this, the whole earth's doing this. And so it sends people into torment, hate, confusion, and Satan works in that stuff, okay? The safest place to be is in God's, in relationship with the Father. And then you start to learn about the Spirit of God. You start to understand His ways, and now you're flowing and moving with the Spirit. You're not fighting and kicking against the Spirit and resisting everything the Holy Spirit's trying to do in the earth. Because if you're resisting, you're in the way. And so that needs to get out of the way, because the Spirit's going anyway. And it's going into eternity. And whoever's going and flowing with that Spirit's going with it. Whoever doesn't and resists it and doesn't want it is like, no, why is all this wrong? What's ever going on? Oh, why am I so like this? I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Oh, life's just terrible. I'm like, oh, Jesus is the answer. Come into Him, right? And your eyes will be opened. You understand a whole lot more, and you're going now with the Spirit and not fighting, kicking against it. So it's like, that's what it's like. So this eternal life, he's like, God so loved the world that he sent his son so that those who believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Okay, John 3:16, the verse of all, right? So he sent his son so we can believe in him. Okay, he became God in the body. God became Jesus in the body, incarnate, the manifestation of God in a body. He stripped himself of everything he deserved. I mean, this is God. He strips himself of everything. He comes down in all humility and becomes just like us. Okay, he didn't get born in a five-star hotel. He didn't come in like, oh, I've got all this and all that. He could have created himself to have any of that, but he didn't. He got born in a stinky, manure pit stable, and he went through hell, okay? He did all of that to strip himself so he could be a humble servant. He came underneath the people to lift everyone up, and we have a choice to believe in that if we want it or not. And it's not like you're not going to have a choice. You have a choice, and everybody will know and hear about the name of Jesus and hear the gospel of salvation, and they'll get to choose. Okay, because a loving God lets you choose. He doesn't force himself on somebody. So we get to choose. And what was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought because I've got distracted. So he became the fulfillment of the law. So we have that free will and we can choose. There's someone else I want to say with that, but I'll just have a little break here and just, drink the Spirit for a minute. So when we come into Christ, think about eternity. It's a pure place. It's holy and it's pure. There's no evil, no darkness, no secrets, no hidden stuff, no agendas. It's all about God. Now, the way this is done is everybody then comes into a Christ likeness. Your character's changed. Your life's transformed. Everything's changed. Not because of something you do, but because the Spirit working through your life does it. And it's not complicated. All you need to do is, you don't need any of this information. What you need to do is believe in Jesus and accept Him as your Savior, and then follow Him in a relationship. And then through that faithfulness, He will begin to unveil Himself. He's a God who reveals Himself. He's not hidden away where you will never need to be able to see Him or know Him and pray to someone you don't know. He reveals Himself, and that's why there's an intimacy and a relationship that forms, because He does that and you fall more and more and more in love with Him, and you want to do everything for Him because you love Him, because He's a revealing God. He's revealed Himself to you. And those who have had their eyes blinded can't understand the things of the Spirit. Okay, that comes off again by Jesus. So He transforms us. Nobody does it. Nobody does it in their own way, in their own righteousness. It's a righteousness of Him. So He has perfectly created all. He's perfectly created us and he's perfectly redeemed us. He's perfectly given us a way out. Nobody gets to say, oh, I'm so good. Look what I've done with my life and I've just got so much better. And oh, look at this and look at that. Nobody gets to do it. We come through him and then he transforms us and he's like, look at that. Look what I made and look what I've done. And he gets all the glory. There's no fighting. There's no pride. Nobody can boast in their own works because he's done it. Nobody gets to boast. Only he's like, that's all mine, my glory. Now the rebellious mind, the mind, the carnal mind, resists that plan, that master plan of God. And it's perfect for us because it saves us from ourselves. It saves us from hurting people. It saves us from all the bad stuff. And it gives us the perfect. And he fulfilled that perfect covenant. Jesus, he fulfilled his own law. God fulfilled his own laws. That if you believe in him, you fulfill the law. Because you become love and you learn to love. And love is the greatest commandment. You can't know love unless you have come through Jesus because he is love. And you can't fight it with knowledge. It has to be done by the Spirit and by the Spirit first. And then it manifests down here in the natural. If you try to get it down here in the natural first through all knowledge and study and learning and understanding, and it hasn't been done by the Spirit first, you will block yourself from coming into that Spirit. The Spirit does it because the Spirit has to get the glory. God needs to get the glory. So if you're learning everything down here, I want to learn about it. I'm doing it all myself. God's not getting any glory in that. It's all about him getting the glory. So he does it by the Spirit. Then it manifests down here in the natural. And he gets all the glory because you know you've done nothing good to deserve what you've done. You know that you haven't been able to do it. He opens the doors. He does the transforming. He does it all. And you're like, I couldn't have done that even if I tried. You know what I mean? He does it. So, and the other thing I want to say was, just quickly, so it's all about him getting all the glory, right? Okay, so yeah, this is good too. Philippians 3, 18 to 19. There are many who walk as enemies of the cross. And they're doomed, it says in Philippians. And the word of God's true. And it doesn't come back void. And it's true and it's performed and it's living. And it's the truth. But you won't know that again until the Spirit reveals it to you. So above all things, get the Spirit of God, which is drinking and eating revelation and drinking and eating teaching that is spiritual of God. There are many who walk as enemies of the cross. They are doomed and their fate is eternal misery. Perdition, the sons of perdition. It's eternal misery. Means a state of it, which perdition means a state of eternal punishment. And damnation into which a sinful and unpenitent persons until death. So in life you are either with the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit now, that unison now as one with the Holy Spirit, or you're with the spirit of the earth, the spirit of the world, and then you're sucked into the earth, okay? So it's eternal. You're choosing eternity. You're choosing what your eternal destination will be. It's eternal life with God, or eternal life in misery. And if you're separated now, then there's an area in your soul where it's unfulfilled. And that can only be fulfilled by that relationship with the Father. A proper following of God. Not a half-assed attempt. It doesn't work. It does not work. I mean, I confess, I knew Jesus was on the cross for many years, but it did nothing to transform my life. It brought me into zero relationship with the Father. I was still out there, a doer of my own thing, and trying to live the way I wanted to live, and it was a mess. I'd never came into what I was created for. So, and what I was seeing today, right, it's offensive. Jesus is offensive to pride. It's not you were, Jesus was chosen, which is God himself. So it wasn't like there was a special person chosen for salvation. He created him for that purpose. Jesus, and I'm going to put myself inside that body, and I'm going to be salvation. I'm going to, anyone who believes in me will have eternal life, says God. Okay, and they'll come in and they'll be my people for eternity, because this is all ever. And you want to be happy and you want to have the best for eternity. You don't want to miss that. Eternal misery in damnation sounds terrible. You don't want that. You don't want that. So it's, and you can see how people are when people are chosen for a particular task. I mean, this is what his purpose was. And you don't want that purpose. You don't want to be. Why would you want that? The suffering that Jesus had to go through. I mean, we have a suffering on a level, but nothing compared to what the Son of God had to go through to fulfill his purpose and destiny. But that was a purpose. He was called and made for that particular thing. Just like Jerusalem, Israel is chosen. It's a chosen people. God just chooses people. And he uses them. Nobody gets a say in it. Like, they're just chosen for that. They're made. He created. They're in the imagination of God. He said, oh, that's what that person's going to do. Pop. And it's perfect. When you come into it, you know how perfect it is because it suits you to the T. It's exactly what you're meant to do. But our pride, our envy, our jealousy, all those non-Holy Spirit fruits manifest out of us when somebody, you know, we want that. Who do they think they are thinking they're chosen? How dare they? We want that. How dare they make it into, you know, declare a state of an independent state in 1948 and call themselves Israel. That was ours. No, nothing happened. God ordains everything. God had it all planned from the start. And it's perfect. But they're like, no, that's ours. That's our land. We want that. How dare he? Let's fight. Rah. Anyone that's fighting against the Spirit and what God's doing just ends up in torment and pain and hurt and hate and eternal separation until they repent, which means change their mind about God, and come into the relationship. Anybody can, because nobody knows what they're doing until they come into that. And then when you come into that, you realize how much you were wrong, right? And how good God is to not just to kill you when you're doing bad things, right? You're forgiven. No matter where you are or how bad your life was or what you've done, is a forgiveness. So we come into that. Any chosen people. I mean, Jesus was a chosen people. Israel, like, you look at people, right? There's like Todd Bentley. He's like a healing evangelist. Carries an amazing fire, amazing, amazing glory. He's, you know, he was in Pakistan and got like, God, how many saved? I don't know, half, quarter of a million saved in a crusade. These people just chosen for that particular thing. You know, there's a prophetess, Lana Vorza, who's just got, you know, on-point prophecies coming out daily, which is encouraging the body of Christ, and it's amazing, and it fills your heart, and she's just used for that. That's her purpose. He's chosen her to do that. And people are like, oh, well, I'm a prophetess as well. Why isn't my stuff getting put up like that? Why aren't I getting those kind of, you know? No, that's not what you're called for. You're called for your own thing. You know, some people, Paul was called to be an apostle. And that's what he did. He was an apostle. He was walking along the road of Damascus, right? Killing everyone. This is what, in Acts, this is the book of Acts in the Bible, Paul. He was named Saul. He was walking along. He was a religious scholar. He knew the Old Testament inside out, back to front. He knew it. He was so good. He was a Hebrew man. He knew everything. And he was walking. He was a Pharisee, which means he was a religious person. He knew everything about the Bible. And when Jesus came and they're like, you are not the Messiah. I know. I've studied the book and I know everything. He didn't have the Spirit. It wasn't revealed. He learned it here. He was in pride. The Spirit of Jesus came and they just rejected him, right? He was walking along. They were killing Christians. They were persecuting Christians. They were pulling down the church anywhere that, you know, the apostles, the disciples, Peter and James and all the and the disciples were going and they were planting churches. Poor Saul was like, that's, pull it down. They were always pulling this church and persecuting this church. And one day he's walking along the road of Damascus and the light comes out and it blinds his eyes and he falls to the ground and he hears a voice out of this light and it says, Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul's like, what the? Uh-oh, what the shit? What? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He's like, who is that, Lord? It's like, it's me, me, Jesus of Nazareth. Could you imagine Paul? Oh, crap. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I am in big trouble here. Oh, crap. Oh, crap. Could you imagine how he felt? Holy shit. I was so wrong. Oh, my God. He would have just stopped in his tracks. He would have been so scared. Oh, my God. Is he going to kill me? He's about to kill me. He's going to kill me. I'm dead. I've just killed all these people. I've just persecuted all these people. And I've just had this encounter that's made me aware that he's real. What would you have me do, Lord? It's like, go here and do this. Do you think Paul went, no? It was, he was scared. Yep, okay, I'll go there. I'll do it no matter what, right? This guy who was killing everyone and persecuting everyone, he went through all these countries and he planted churches everywhere he went. He was so persecuted. He was thrown in jail for 2 years. Do you think he was in jail? He was singing and worshiping. He knew God was real. He was writing most of the books of the New Testament. Like, this guy planted churches everywhere he went. He just preached the gospel, preached the gospel, preached the gospel everywhere he went. 5 minutes ago, he was killing these people. One encounter, he was like, ah, he's real shit. Don't kill me. What will I do? You don't tell me I'll do it. Anything you want, I'll do it. You know, it's like, whoa, this stuff happens. He was just chosen for that people. Like, then a guy had a vision from God, and God, the Lord said to him, go here and pray for this man. He's been blinded. Pray for him and I'm going to unblind him. He's like, Lord, don't you know? This is all in a vision. Lord, don't you know that man? I've heard of him. He's been killing people. And the Lord's going, no, I've chosen him for something. Go and do it. And so the Christian just got up and went and did it. He listened. He was obedient. He did it. He went and he prayed for Paul. And Paul was, you know, he went and did all, preached the gospel, greatest apostle ever. And that's just what he was chosen for. It was all meant to be. It was all exactly what he was doing. You know, there's no boasting. And he knows it because God gets all the glory, because God done it. God does it. God chose people to do specific things for his purpose. And everybody has that. Not one person. Everyone's a chosen people. Everything, like Israel's just a, it's like, yeah, that's a chosen people, but you're a chosen people too. If you just get it, come in, and then you're going to know what you're chosen for. And it's going to be glorious and perfect, and you're going to love it. And you're going to be like, why did you not do this ages ago? I wish I did. But your pride stops you because you're like, well, how dare they think they're the chosen people? I'm going to go and protest against them. They're killing all these people. Blah, 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 blah. Like, get over it. There's a God. He rules and reigns. He's in charge of everything. And we have a choice if we want to participate in it or not. And we can be offended by it. How dare Jesus say he's the only way to heaven? How dare Jesus act as if he's the only God? Like, what is that? How about a little bit of, you know, less judgment and let everybody just do what they want to do and be who they want to be? All right, Satan, cool, whatever, go do that then. See how far it gets you. Probably not very far. You know, that's just the carnal mind that doesn't know, the carnal nature, that fallen nature, born in a corrupt state, requiring God to perfect us so no one can do it on their own and nobody can boast. Romans 5:12, right? So we can't do it on our own. You need God to do it. So there's no little, no one's better than anyone. Who chose, you know, C.S. Lewis to be a theologian, and he's this amazing, you know, well-known theologian. And what about just, you know, somebody who doesn't have a great big title, you know, but all they do is pray, pray, pray. They probably have the best relationship with God than any of these big names, you know, but they just spend all their time in prayer with the Lord. And prayer's not like, oh, dear Jesus, please hear my prayer, like he's all the way out here. We don't worship Allah, we worship the living God. He's in us. We accept him in, he comes into our heart and he transforms our heart. Now this is the most important thing, because out of your heart the issues of life flow, right? What's going into your heart is important. Anything that's in your heart that isn't love needs to come out, because it blocks you. That's forgiveness, bitterness, envy, jealousy, all those bitter roots that need to be pulled out so you can flow in love and actually love people. Not be vindictive, not be jealous, not trying, none of that. It's loving people, really wanting people to be happy and have a good life. Somebody says, there's no judgment, there's just lessons. Now, you judge every day. I'm not going to run across the road in front of a car because my judgment tells me that I will die from that. So my just natural judgment tells me that's wrong and that's right. There's an internal working inside of your heart that tells you. It convicts you and it tells you what's wrong and what's right. What, you know, and we war with that constantly until we become righteous in God, receive the grace of him, and then we move in righteousness and we continue to grow in that area. And we continue to grow in all areas. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's arrived, right? Well, we have arrived because Jesus is the cross and we've arrived in the cross. For we know what we worship. We know what we worship. I love that. We know what we worship. Not we know we're so smart. No, we yada. We know we've been yarded as one together with his spirit. So that spirit's come into us and we're like, whoa. He's real. We've got that oneness, that unit. We know he's real because he's come into us like that. Not like I'm going to tell you all the reasons why I'm right. No, we know what we worship. You don't know what you worship because you can't have any unity like that unless it's through the Holy Spirit, which is the Father. Okay, so that's eternal life. Eternity is oneness with God, a continuous ongoing development of that separation. I mean, we're going to learn this forever. We'll never understand God in this lifetime. Are you kidding me? This is forever. I'm going to always learn more and more every single day, and it's an unfolding of a love, an unfolding of a relationship, just like what you have. Everybody has it when we come into that wonderful unity of the Spirit of God. And it's the only way we're going to get unity. It's the only way we get spirit unity down here. There will constantly be wars and fighting and that rejection of each other, the division. I mean, you can see where Satan works with that division, always trying to get everybody divided and against each other, starting in your own home, right? Because it's offensive about Jesus. Okay, you start preaching Jesus and telling everyone about how good Jesus is, the first people are going to say that is like, oh, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know about it. We've got our own thing. Don't be so rude. Don't put your crap on me. We don't want to hear it. Blah, blah, blah. That's the eternal truth. But, you know, that's it. And then Satan starts to get in people's ears. Because he's offended by the gospel. He's offended. The gospel is Jesus. He's offended by Jesus. How dare he be the salvation? I should have been the salvation. But I got kicked out. Okay? So he hates Jesus. He hates the message, he hates the gospel, he hates that it's eternity, he hates he wasn't chosen for it. And anybody that feels that has that demonic realm around their soul that they need to be rid of completely so they can come into the truth, get humble enough to receive the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that sets you free. And it's the only way you will have eternal life is through that gospel, through him. And to remove that pride, it's all satanic, it's demonic. And he does it to keep you separated. It's not like all the bad things you do. It's the no relationship. Get all that demonic activity out of our lives, you know? He feeds us the drugs. He feeds you sexual perverted lusts and images and things like that. So you can be demonized in your own mind. You know, he does that. You gotta come out of that. Come into that unity with him. And he will clean up your life and he will set you free and you become like Christ-like, an eternal life in a pure holy place forever with our chosen people. How nice is that? That's all it's about. It's absolutely glorious. So that's eternal life. Eternal life or eternal misery. You choose what you have today. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day what you want. Joy forever or misery forever. So thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Father, that you would open up the doors. You would open up our eyes to be able to see and hear the message and be able to receive it into our hearts. That you would open up our eyes to see anything that we need to do to be able to get all of that stuff out of our hearts so we can love, so we can receive the gospel. Maybe there's courses, workshops, a church group. Maybe there's messages on YouTube. Maybe there's the Bible that we could read out loud over and over. That's the only thing that's going to break off all those chains that have been holding us back. Thank you, Father, that you would open our eyes and you would open the doors and put the right people in our path so that we'd be able to come into a deeper relationship, a real, true relationship with the one living God and live for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Love you guys. Bye.